Alan Kring Productions in association with Emergent Light Studio presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, Section 5 for Autumn Semester 2019. Lecture 8, delivered on September 12th.
Today, ratio analysis. As is the typical, we'll have a look at the markets briefly and then move from there to give you some resources and a little bit of Excel math skills. But just to start this happy day off, ma'am, is it a good day or a bad day on the street? It's an okay day. Yeah, I guess that would be about what I'd say too. It's not spectacular, but it was broad-based rally. So it's clear that there was something making the markets happy today and making me happy for my portfolio, of course, as well. Just a quick look. There was some heavy volatility at the beginning of the day today. You can see that there was a little spike of bull, and then the bears just came roaring and smacked the crap out of it. And then the bears did. And then the bulls rallied in the mid-morning. You can see in the mid-morning there was a rally, spikes of bull activity. But then the bears just took a big smack out of everything at about a little beyond the mid-morning. It just dropped like a rock. But then the bulls just seemed to manage to come back. And by the midday, you saw the bull rally continuing. And as I had told the morning class, when you saw about here, I said this is probably going to be the end of the excitement for the day. And as you can see, it was just kind of a roller coaster up and down. However, now just looking through this, at the very end of this day, you might notice anything unusual about the end of the day? It started to drop again. What does that mean? Talk in terms of bears and bulls.
The bears
took control of the situation, and we saw that there was a sell-off. It was a rather steep sell-off there in the final hour of trading. And you see that volume spike there at the end. You see how the volume just started building there at the end of it? And those little bars down there at the bottom, indicating that there was a surge of bear activity just to take a little of the happiness out of the day for the bulls in the market. Now, what were they all worked up about? It's hard to say. At the beginning, this was probably a tug of war based upon what's going on with respect to the trades and tariffs and all that kind of fancy stuff. That was just like a whacking that the bears did. But give the bulls credit, they were strong. But here at the end, there was something, and you would probably want to be good to be cautious, but it looks like overall there was some bad news that was seeping into the markets by the end of the day. Now, will that go on until tomorrow? That's hard to say, but you might expect that those bears are still going to be in a bad mood tomorrow morning, and so we might see more of this sell-off happening once trading opens. Hard to tell them. It's hard to call what's going on in their minds. A great deal. Is there much concern? We have someone in Washington, and I won't mention any names, saying that we should have negative interest rates, which is, I won't mention any names, but that idea of negative interest rates would create sheer havoc in the markets and ultimately lead to a massive inflation, which would drive interest rates through the roof if that were to actually occur. But fortunately, there are cooler heads controlling the Federal Reserve, and so we probably won't see that happen. Now, I'm going to show you some things about ratios. First things first. You will recall that, was I looking at AT&T? Yes, I was looking at AT&T. And I did some nice ratios with AT&T, you know, working through them. Let me show you this. I've put up a resource in VeggieNet for you. I was told to stop calling it that. So I put up a few resources in VeggieNet. One of them's showing right now. In your resources tab is that financial analysis formula. Now, the truth of the matter is that there are a lot of different ratios. I mean, there are lots of them. And what you see here is sort of like not even a beginner's guide. It is sort of a beginner's guide, but it's a nice set of ratios that can give you a lot of information about a company and all of that. And as I had shown you in the Excel sheet, we can calculate the ratios pretty well. It's just a matter of keying in the formula and referencing the right sheet in your Excel. Nothing hard about that. Let me show you something here. I'm going to come back through in myillinoisstate.edu, and I swear I'm going to bookmark these here on this computer one of these days. But if you go to the Milner Library, and I've shown you this before to a certain extent, but I want to make sure that you see it in its full glory now. The Milner Library has literally hundreds of thousands of information products, and it can gather millions from other corresponding libraries, etc. Now, those information products are anything from books and magazines on through to databases of scientific data, financial data, economic data, sociological data, you name it. We've got it. Now, there's one place which you were supposed to have been shown in Business 100. But I've got enough people to say, well, they just sort of glossed over this. So let me hit it right over the head. And I'm going to put the link to this in your resources. You have access, well, let me go back here for just a second. As a student here at ISU, and to some extent as an alumnus of this university, you have access to some very expensive subscription-based databases. If you were to pay for these, they would cost you a lot of money. LexisNexis is one of them, a repository of just about any news article that has ever been published in electronic format, cases in law, about anything. The whole trick with LexisNexis is knowing how to ask, and that requires that you get some good skills in Boolean logic. And, or, except, with, things like that. But anyway, what I want to show you here is the S&P Global Net Advantage. This, you can essentially tell it any publicly traded company, or an industry if you want to do it that way. And I'm going to type in the symbol for AT&T, which we did on Tuesday. The problem is that there's too much. And at first, it just overwhelms. Where the heck do I start here? It's one of those things where the more you use these things, these resources, the more able you are to look beyond the mass of data and find what you want. In our case, I'm looking here. This is all for AT&T. Look here at the ratios. Well, it'll do ratios for us. Well, there's all the ratios and a lot that I wouldn't even show you. Heck, some of these I probably wouldn't show you in an advanced finance, corporate finance class or managerial finance class. It's just reams of them. Now, by the way, traditionally we look at information, time information, from the most recent on the left to the least, to the most in the past on the right. Standard & Poor's shows it the opposite way. So in keeping with the way data like at the SEC is shown, I'm going to say do it from the left to the right. So the 2019 is over here on the left side column. And then from there it goes down. And everything that I showed you is here. And I, of course, went out of VeggieNet without getting that formula. Well, yeah, I did. I'm fine. Yeah, there we go. Okay. So in this case, what you are looking at, and if you have your computer, for heaven's sakes, pull it out and turn it on and have a look at this. It's quite okay. It's going to knock you dead, all of the information. And the question is, where do I even start with this? Now, a little bit of a point here is that it is not unusual, as I have said, for the same thing to have different names. So what Standard & Poor's calls profitability ratios, I would include in the profitability ratios, and I believe that your textbook does too, what Standard & Poor's is calling the margin analysis. But one way or the other, looking at, for example, we've got ROA, return on assets, net income over total assets. RO, and one that I also showed you was ROE, return on equity. That would be the net income divided by the shareholder's equity. Return on common equity. Now, this one is a little bit return on equity and return on common equity will be the same if the company has no preferred stock. But if there's preferred stock, return on common equity would exclude that, whereas return on equity would include the preferred in the calculation. But now, as you can see, apparently AT&T has some preferred out there or some other exotic equity that would be included in that. They shouldn't be much different unless the company really issues a lot of oddball equity, unusual equity. Now, again, gross margin for AT&T. You'll notice... Well, no. Actually, the ones I showed you were this line right here. I also yes. Again. Well, actually, let me do it this way. I'm going to haul it. I will put this link in ReggieNet right away, but I'm going to go to Wow. I should never drink this early in the day. No. Okay. You go to Milner. Okay. I think it's Milner. No, Library, Illinois State. Now, I'm going to take you in and get you to where I want you. And if you want, you can copy down the URL here. We put this in the business guides for Business 100 because that's where you are supposed to be taught all about this. My experience is that it is all over the board whether you're going to have this part of Business 100 emphasized. And especially, you may not see a lot about the finance resources. So here is where you would start. Go to https://guides.library.illinoisstate.edu/BUS100. Again, https://guides.library.illinoisstate.edu/BUS100. Now there you would get all of these things. You would see all of the different resources for business people. You are business professionals in the making now. These are some of your tools for your job, for doing job analysis. And as I've said before, if you're going to go into an interview and you can go through some of these resources and type in the company's name, you will have available information that I can pretty much guarantee you not one other job interviewee is going to have. Now, the one that we're using here today is S&P Global Net Advantage. It's down a little ways on the page in the center column. S&P Global Net Advantage. And then you click on it. And then at the very top, there is a search strip. You type in your trading symbol. In this case, if I were to not know AT&T, I'd type it in like that, and I could still get to the trading symbol, which is T. And I'm there. On the left sidebar is all of this, anything you could want. It's like, some people look at every possible link over here on the left sidebar. But we who are a little more normal, we have our favorites we click on to look at the information. And admittedly, I should look at more than I do. I'm a little more narrowed in my focus these days than I should be. But anyway, and I clicked on ratios, and that's how I got to this. Now let me explain a couple of things here. These margins, as you can see, you might remember, I did gross margin, operating margin, and net margin. And they do gross margin. Now, they don't call it operating margin, but this one right here, EBIT margin percent, is the same thing because EBIT is another term for operating. But interestingly enough, they do a couple of others along the way that are kind of cool. I don't do them. I would probably do them in the income statements course. But here I'll just mention them. One is EBITDA, which is very popular in corporate culture. Earnings before interest and taxes, and depreciation and amortization. In other words, it's more of a good stab at cash flow. They're saying take your operating income, but add back in depreciation and amortization because those weren't really cash flows. So EBIT over margin. EBIT margin, which is operating margin, is the one that I show you. But a nice one is EBIT and then add back depreciation and amortization. divided by your revenues. Now, another one that's actually kind of nice to look at is your SG&A margin. Your selling, general, and administrative expenses divided by your revenue. And as you can see, well, let me shut my pie hole and ask you this. If I look at the SG&A margin, overall, in a broad way, what do you see there in the SG&A margin from 2015? Let's not look at 14. 14 is a weird year. From 2014 to 2019, what do you see? Just in a broad look. It's about good. Excellent. Give him a cookie, someone. Oreo, double cream. Yes. Yeah, I know, right? I mean, and you know why I hate those? When you dip it in coffee, you leave it in too long, and then it sinks to the bottom. And then you've got to, you know, just kind of keep shaking it and at the end, and then you give your coffee cup to someone else to have a swig, and that's down there. And you fool around and say, oh, that's just that mouse. I wondered where it went. Anyway, look, that's right. Overall, it's been fairly stable. A sign of a well-managed company is that it is able to, trust me when I tell you, it is not as easy to control costs over a long period of time. They kind of have a life of their own. But here you can see that this AT&T, it's been pretty good on this so far, into 19 even. So there is a sign of stability in a company. Now, if I were to look on down, EBIT margin, ow, that hurt like your operating margin. Is there anything that you see here, sir? Do you see anything in the operating margin, the EBIT margin, that is standing out to you? Let me get this. I'll highlight it for you so you can see it. Get that one unhighlighted. By the way, it's got all these little cool tricks. If you play around, you're going to notice things like I can highlight a row by clicking over to the left side of it. So it makes it easier for me to run across that column. Yeah, 2018. I mean, 2018, it had weird stuff going on. I'm wondering about that myself. That would really skew numbers. That could really skew some numbers. Overall, that operating margin has stayed fairly well under control. It's got a little volatility to it, you know, but not bad. Now, net income margin, that's what we call net margin. Over the past few years, over the past couple of years, ma'am, what do you see over the past couple of years on net margin? Yes. Grown. Look at 2017 to now. What do you see? It has decreased. Net margin has eroded. In other words, that money available to the shareholders, that belongs to shareholders as a percent of revenues, has been eroding. That's not a good sign. So at the bottom line, we see that there is some questionability about AT&T's ability to bring home the bacon to the owners. And that seems to be a question that might bother some shareholders. Look, what's going on here? Why are you losing that ability to deliver? You see, the one thing that investors who are, some investors love volatility. They love risk. They're crazy mofos. Other investors, though, I don't like those kinds of risks like that. When I see a company that cannot hold the line in one way or another, that's something that bothers me. It's the same thing if a company keeps changing its board of directors or its chief executive officer. You don't want to just keep doing that all the time because that sends a signal to the markets that there is a risk here, an unreliability, if you will. And higher risk translates into lower stock prices. Higher risk translates into lower bond prices. So if AT&T is losing its momentum as far as stock price goes, it would probably be this right here that would be bothering investors. So what I might want to do is say, let's look over here. Look at the last maybe 3 years for AT&T. Oh, it's still got a low beta, low PE ratio, no doubt about that. But if I were to look over, let's say, a five-year period, you notice that there has been something, especially early on, there was an erosion of the stock price. Now, recently, this thing has been rallying fairly well. So maybe we're used to it now. Maybe we're used to the fact that AT&T is not going to be the bonanza at the bottom line for shareholders that it once was. And now we deal with a new, basically a different company than what we had in the past, from what we had in the past. That's just possibly what's going on here. Again, and I said this the last lecture, we are different from accounting because we don't really want to stop with the numbers. Yeah, the numbers, we can do them ourselves. We've got Excel, good for us. We need to be able to say why and what this means for the future of the investment, what this means for the future of the company, what this means for the future of the communities in which this company employs people. Those are questions we can answer, but it's not just saying a number. It's saying what the number is telling us. Now, let me go on here just a little bit. Oh, darn it, they could actually do free cash flow analysis, which is what I teach in this course and in 2341 and a lot of other courses. And this stupid website can do all of that for us now. But still, we need to know how to do it. It's not that easy. Okay, now, total asset turnover ratio. That is, if you will look at the sheet, it is your sales divided by your total assets. In other words, how many times over per year is this company turning its whole asset base into sales? I don't know who I, you, sir. You have a lot of body parts. Brain, heart, lungs, spleen, liver. You really should watch more, be careful with your liver. That stuff you're drinking, Earl's Old Snort, that can damage your liver in 2 days. Okay, gallbladder. You've got all these muscles, tendons, bones. Let's say it's all worth a really decent price. $5. Okay, now, every year you make $20. So what that means is that you turn that meat suit over 4 times a year. Okay? If we liquidated your, I don't, this is just going farther south. I might as well just shut my pie hole and move on. I'm trying to make a point here. Look, and this is what we're saying. No, they're not going to liquidate their company. But if they did, the value of those assets, they have turned it over in sales turned it into cash money. How many times was that? That was actually kind of pathetic, if I remember, if I saw that right. 0.3 times a year. So in other words, it would take them about 3 years and 3 months to turn their all their assets into cash. Now let me take you on a little bit of a journey here. And I can't believe that I just did this. I am going to go and look at Amazon, AMZN. Ratios. Total asset turnover for Amazon is 1.9 times. In other words, their total asset base becomes sales almost twice a year. Again, look at this one, which is inventory turnover. In the case, inventory turnover. Which is how, that was the daintiest sneeze I've heard all freaking day. Inventory turnover. That's how many times you turn your sales into, your inventory into sales. Essentially, how many times a year do you clear that whole warehouse, all of your warehouses, into sales? Clear them into sales. In the case of AT&T, they are able to do that inventory turnover. What do you mean? What the hell? Not applicable. Oh, they don't have it for this. What? 31.8 times? What kind of inventory do they have? That's amazing. Okay. Amazon is rather awesome. It can rotate all of those vast warehouses they have all over the country. Heck, I guess all over the world. I don't know. They can take everything out, sell it, and replace it 8 times every year. Now, for some reason, AT&T can do that 32 times a year. How is that happening? How is that possible? I don't know. That just kind of leaves. What do they have? Do they leave the warehouse open so thieves can steal all their crappy phones? I don't know. Well, anyway, moving on. These were the ones I told you. Current ratio. Quick ratio. Okay, and of course, we had done those. They don't have the burn ratio here. Current ratio for AT&T. This would say that their current assets, if all of them were liquidated at book value, could pay the 70% of the liability. If you exclude inventory, which is really, you can't sell that for its book value, you could pay off half of the current liabilities with the current assets. Now, taking it over to Amazon, and by the way, I'm sneaking in here, comps analysis. We're doing some comparisons here. Now, this is a bad one because they're not in the same industry, but it gives you an idea. These numbers, there is no fixed number that's right. It's all dependent upon the company, the industry, and all that. So if I were to look at current ratio for Amazon, it can pay its current liabilities with its current assets 1.1 times over. So it is a more liquid company. Now, if I were to go back and say, well, what happens if we exclude inventory? Inventory, taking that out for the quick ratio, 0.5 for AT&T, for Amazon, 0.8. It's still a little more liquid if you exclude inventory. A couple of others. Debt to total assets, or debt to equity. For AT&T, it has been at 130%. That year, 2016, that's Amazon. Let me get back to AT&T. Amazon, its debt to equity is 92%. For Amazon, debt to equity is 130%. In other words, for Amazon, their debt is 131% of their equity. Highly leveraged. That's quite a bit of leverage. For AT&T, their debt as to equity is 92.4%. In other words, they've got 92.4% as much debt as they have equity. So AT&T is not as leveraged. If you were looking at debt to total assets, this would say that AT&T is a little bit under 50% debt to assets. And Amazon, geez, that's like, that's like about two-thirds debt. Amazon is a much more significantly leveraged company than AT&T is, which should translate into a higher ROE. If I go back up here and look at return on equity for Amazon, oh, that's terrible. That's a horrible. Oh, hate, getting old. God. 28.3%. Amazon, let me go down here. Let's do this right now. Yeah, Amazon is still pretty leveraged. It's about 60% debt. And notice it has an ROE that is 28.3%. That's gains to leverage. AT&T, on the other hand, has under 50% debt in its capital structure. And notice how its ROE is less. The more debt you use, all other things being equal, the higher the return on equity. There again is the gains to leverage. The more debt you use, the better it is for the owners. Until you use so much debt that you go bankrupt. There's that, yeah. But then it just keeps getting better and better with this. These at Standard & Poor's will give you all of the ratio growth rates the actual growth rates, like revenue. We can see that AT&T from 2017 to 2018, AT&T, it went from a growth rate of negative to positive 6.4%. But notice even at that, do you see how AT&T over the past number of years just, it's so volatile, its growth rate of revenues. It's just up and down and up and down. Amazon. Revenue, growth rate of just pure revenue. Now, this is just a part year right here. This is just a part year. So I would look at these. Interesting. Looking at just these right here. Whoops. Let me do it. Looking at just, don't look at this last one. That's a part year. With Amazon. Again, the numbers don't tell us everything until you look at them. Do you see anything about that growth rate of revenue? Those are growth rates of revenue.
Is the latest year on the left?
Latest is on the left.
Yeah, it seems like it's been going up consistently.
It's been going up. Do you see anything looking a little more carefully, though? That's okay. You're right. It's going up.
It's stayed consistent with 30%.
When? It's growing, yes, but I mean 30.9% is phenomenal, but the growth rate was accelerating, and now the growth rate is leveling off. In other words, it looks, and we'd have to have some more data to tell us this, it looks like Amazon is in a transition phase from that hot, young, blue-white star into the stable, quiet, yellow star that warms the earth and all that kind of stuff. You can't tell it, but there's certainly a hint that the momentum of growth, it's still growing. I mean, 30.9% growth in revenues, that's just like, I would love to have that, for God's sake, just one day. But what looks like is happening, and it's a little concerning in this current year. Now again, that's, you can't really tell that much from a piece of a year, but I'm a little concerned that Amazon is topping out a little bit. Now how that could happen, okay, the same thing, and I'm going to pull up one more here. Let me do, oh, net income. What the heck? How do you have net income go 297% to 27.9% to 232.1% to 92.8%? That ain't natural. That's what it is. Okay. It's kind of hard to say. Something is odd. The growth rate from year to year, just up and down. That would almost have to be some kind of a tax effect. That would be my guess, is a tax effect. Now, taking that off to the side here, really briefly, let me show you one more here, real quick. And this is about interpretation. I'm pretty sure you can do the numbers just fine and key them in Excel. But this gives us the ability to kind of jump a little bit here. Welcome. Okay, I'm going to bring up NFLX, Netflix. And let's look at its ratios. Netflix. Just to grab a couple right off the top. SG&A. Their selling, general, and administrative expenses were fairly stable. They dropped, and now they've jumped again. Going down, net income margin. It seems to have been very good, but it has eroded. Yes. Oh, dang it. You know what? I might as well just quit this and go back to driving cabs in New Orleans and selling my hairstyle to artists. Yeah, boy, that is pretty sad when things don't look any better when you turn the numbers around. Wow. Okay, net margin. Notice their net margin. They've been firming it. That's nice. Do you see how net margin has been firmed up over the last few years? Do you see that? That's a good sign for Netflix. Strong sign. Now let's go down here, though, and look at their total revenues. Their total revenues have grown year over year over year, and they are continuing to accelerate. This piece of a year, is this a piece of a year here? Oh, this is, it's just a projection, so I can't tell much from that. However, you also have a problem with Netflix because Netflix claims it has no inventory, which means that its numbers are a little bit weird because you remember when, well, I don't know if you did Netflix, but when I do Netflix, they have a line in current assets called content. And they say that's not inventory. And the reason they say that's not inventory is they say we don't own it. Therefore, it's not inventory. But for all intents and purposes, that electronic content is inventory. And if you were to include that, some of these numbers would look a lot different. So the bottom line question here, the most important question, though, is just looking at some of these, like Amazon. And then going over here, I've got AT&T up. Let me also do AMZN. And looking at Amazon, and we'll put on a 1 year. Amazon is, you buy a share of that, it's going to cost you $1,843.55. So let's say that you have a couple of grand just kicking around. You think, I want to buy a share of Amazon. With a beta of 1.62 and a P/E ratio of 76.48. EPS of 24 whopping dollars per share. But remember that that's because there aren't many shares of Amazon outstanding compared to other companies. If it split the stock, then the price would be half and the EPS would be half. They'd have to actually split it, do a three split to get it down into the normal range of a company. But looking at Amazon's profile and ratios, in your judgment, getting it down to the place where you have to be one of these days relatively soon, in your judgment, ma'am, is this a good investment? And tell me why. Amazon, there are your numbers. What say you? Can I tell you what you say to me?
No.
Okay.
Because it's not growing.
Well, it is growing rapidly, but it's not accelerating its growth.
Yeah.
So what say you? It's still a growing company. You see the ratios right there. It's highly leveraged. Its revenues are growing, although the growth rate is stabilizing. Net margin is firming up on it. See the net margin, net income. Its net income is at about net margin keeps growing. It's right now closing on 5% of sales. In other words, 5 cents of every sale are making it to the bottom line. You say no.
Yeah.
Why? In other words, there's a point in time, maybe somewhere down the line, you're beginning to see that aging of the company. It's stabilizing into just one of the giants of the earth. Netflix, Amazon in 10 years, it's going to be another AT&T, a Shell Oil. All those companies, they stabilize. Right now, one thing that you should mention is that this would have a lot to do with your risk preferences. If you are a risk taker, this is probably a mild buy. If you are not a risk taker, if you're a more conservative investor, this is not a buy at all, just based upon some of the things you said and the beta. So if you want to take a risk, if you feel lucky, this is your stock. AT&T, on the other hand, is almost the opposite story. AT&T is a company that a risk taker would probably not be interested in, because this company just sits there, see its revenues, it just goes badoink, 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 and you don't see a whole lot of gains to leverage being realized. The return on equity, this is not an awesome, by any company standards, that's not an awesome return on equity. It is so large. AT&T is a massive company of the earth. It is hard for them to make their assets do incredible tricks. Have you ever watched one of those movies? Have you ever seen a brontosaurus do a double somersault? No. It's just they're too big to do those incredible things anymore. This would be a more defensive. So if you're a high-risk investor, this is a no. If you're a low-risk investor, this is a maybe. AT&T, neither AT&T nor Amazon is going to go bankrupt. So you don't have to worry about it dying. It's just how stable do you want your investments to be? Now I'm going to give you a quiz. And when you're finished, that's all I have for you today. I thank you.